So it's Q&A time. You guys know how it works, I think, by now. You just raise your hand and talk. Yeah, Katarina.
Okay, so I have a question to the free state. So I find it very difficult when the free state lasts like a couple of days or even weeks. For example, I was in a free state from mid-June to mid-July. I wasn't on sick leave for a couple of weeks. So I had to rest almost the whole day, and it was so exhausting to even go to shop some groceries or to go on a walk. And that is so the state creates judgment, so and also resistance, and it makes it even worse to try to fix it and to panic about it, and then this is such a vicious cycle. So that goes on and on, and yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, to
Makes
navigate
sense.
it is so difficult when it lasts so long.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Freeze is like, it's the worst, in my opinion. Like, it really is the worst because it feels like an impossible, no matter what, I'm going to fail kind of state. Like, it is. And you said judgment, and the primary emotion of the freeze state is judgment. Because it's like we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. We're stuck between I should do this and I shouldn't do this. And so when we're like, should I not? Should I not? Like that's judgment, right? That's freeze. Like the gas is there because I need to do something, but the brakes are like, nope, can't do anything. So my what I would tell you to do is to like deeply connect with your body and ask yourself, what is the truth here? Because the freeze state being gas and brakes, is it true that your body actually needs you to put more gas on to mobilize you closer to safety? Or is it true that you're trying to avoid the inevitable collapse because you're burned out and your body's actually asking you to put the brakes on? You know, and that's so different for every person. So I can't like tell you when your body's asking for gas and when your body's asking for brakes. But that would be the question of like, okay, I've noticed I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. I'm in between the shoulds. I'm judging everything. Does my body need me to support her in mobilizing up? Or does my body need me to support her by fully putting the gas on and just deeply, deeply resting?
Yeah. Okay.
Do you get a sense of what your body's asking for?
Yeah, rest, definitely. Yeah.
And do you fight the rest?
Yeah.
Why?
Because of judgment, and also this exhaustion triggers health anxiety. So it's like, okay, there's something wrong with me. I'm 28, so this can't be happening, that I'm so exhausted and like burned out. Yeah.
Okay, why can't it be happening that you're 28 and exhausted and burned out if this is what's happening?
Yeah, true. I think because of comparison to other people,
So,
what they are
because
doing.
other 28-year-olds, as far as you know, your perception of other
Yeah.
28-year-olds, that they're not exhausted and burned out. But have you ever been exhausted and burned out and totally put on a face that you weren't? Have you ever pretended or like,
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. So then do you actually know that other 28-year-olds aren't exhausted or burned out? Or is that what your reticular activating system is using to confirm to you that, oh, I'm exhausted and burned out, but they're not? Okay. So if you weren't basing what your body needs on your perception of others, how would you honor your body?
I would give my body the rest that it needs, without judgment, and to rest, yeah, as long as it needs, until I feel better, and to be in the mood to do things again, and
Yeah.
nourish my body, deep rest, sleep, good food. Yeah.
Yeah. Does that feel limiting? Does that feel bad?
No,
Does that feel like
no.
there's something wrong?
No, that actually feels really good.
Okay, congratulations. You just got out of freeze.
Yeah.
Because you're not judging yourself anymore and you're not denying what your body is actually asking for, which is let's take the foot off the gas for a bit and just fully go into the brakes for a while. And that's fine. That's normal. Everybody needs periods of movement and everybody needs periods of stillness.
Yeah.
Can't have one without the other.
I think it's also the uncertainty when it gets better, like, okay, so when will I be out of freeze again? How long will I be on sick leave? I have to work again, and on, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like you can meet those thoughts with no awareness and be really reactive to them and start catastrophizing and oh my God, I'm going to be sick forever and what if I run out of sick leave and what if this and what if that? I mean, you're allowed to do that and you are also allowed to notice like, oh, isn't it interesting that just because I've decided to slow down and give my body rest, now suddenly this voice in my head thinks that this is going to last forever and that I'm going to lose my job and I'm going to run out of sick days and whatever else it is making it mean, right? Does that take some of the charge out of it for you? Yeah. And it's also like, I mean, I know that like when I had health anxiety, whenever I would have a symptom, I would have similar thoughts of like, oh, when is this going to be over? Like, when is it going to get better? When am I going to not have to feel this anymore? And that was something that I used to think and feel a lot when I was a child in my abusive household. Like, when is this going to be over? When do I get to get out of here? When does this get to be better? Right. And so, like, then I have to nurture that part of myself because that's the part of myself that's like, oh my God, when am I going to get out of this? When I'm not going to feel this anymore? And how am I going to fix it? Right? It's that part, that's that child part that's like, I don't want to be in this. This is scary. I don't want to be alone in the dark. Like, how long is it going to last? And so then I have to be my like adult self and nourish and nurture that little kid on my bus so that she calms down and doesn't try to drive the bus off a cliff. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks for your question. That's great. Also, you should watch Thawing the Freeze Response in
Okay,
that.
yeah, we'll do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who's next? Yeah, Nicole.
First, I just want to say that I'm already noticing like the ability to name some of the patterns that have been playing out in my life, and
Awesome.
one of them being just recently broke up with my partner, and I can see how, and this isn't like a judgment, I'm just see how it like played out, where he had been like withdrawing, 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 and got so like in this what felt like freeze. And my normal, I think, go-to is more in like freeze or immobilization, fawning, or more of my go-tos. But like the night before we broke up, I like picked a fight with him, which I almost never do. Like, so me like really gearing up into that like fight thing, which was just so rare. And it's interesting to see, like, I think I was just so just trying to help him in some ways, even like move in some direction. And then it just all kind of blew up the next day. And it's funny because I can see that, I can name it. I can also see like the fawning part of me that's like, oh, if I did this instead, would anything be different? And I don't necessarily think it would be, but just that, like, even noticing. And then since then, I think I've been kind of intuitively doing some of these things where I've been all over the map, like, since then. And I've really tried to look at this time as like experimenting with my grief and just looking at the patterns that I've had in previous breakups. And as a result, like, I think I've over the last couple years have done more work to get out of some of that freeze state. So I am like moving back and forth. I've been writing a lot. I've written like a ridiculous amount of poetry the last couple months.
Nice.
And I had to go to his place yesterday to get my stuff, and decided that I wanted to share the poetry with him. I knew I wouldn't be able to like say all of it. It's like a lot, like literally a lot. So I decided I wanted to speak like two of the poems to him, but you know, I wouldn't see him till the end of the day. He lives near the beach, so I went to the beach and then just like spent time, you know, like in the ocean and like laid my belly on the earth, and I could feel like all of my sensation was really like throat, belly. So like just putting the front side of my body like onto the earth just felt like so nourishing.
Yeah, good work.
And then went to his house, you know, had a little bit of conversation, got my stuff, and then told him I wanted to read the poetry. Did read the poetry, but I could also feel all the sensation in my body. Like my knee just was like going, going, going. I was just very aware of it. But I did it, and I'm like really, really proud of saying some of the things that I needed to say, because my pattern would be to like avoid saying it and shut that part of myself down, abandon myself for
Yeah.
something else. So I guess some of my question is, so the you know, the biggest trigger for me, or this biggest wound for me, is abandonment. And this plays out in my romantic relationships over and over again. And so, but I'm in this spot where it's not just a perceived threat, like it just came true again. And I always have this story told to me by these men. And this isn't like once or twice, this is by at least four different men that are like, "It's not you, it's me. You're amazing. I'm not worthy of you. You deserve more." So I'm like trying to hold that of like, you know, I don't want to tone myself down for anyone. And then just trying to figure out like how you work with the trigger, I guess, like when there's no opportunity necessarily to repair it in a similar context at the moment, at least. You know, I can sit there and work with my friends, I can work with my family, but they do not bring that same thing out in me. So like just curious like about how you work with that when it's like, I don't know, I mean, maybe you just even using your imagination in some way, when I can't do it with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, did he abandon you? Is he the one that broke up with you?
Yes.
And he said it was because you deserve better than him?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you need to call bullshit.
Yeah.
That sounds like a cop-out answer to me. That sounds like somebody who doesn't want to acknowledge their feelings and their part in a relationship, so they're putting it all on you being this like, "Oh, you're just too good for me." Like, no, that's actually bullshit.
Yeah. And I have, like, I mean, I think, you know, my theory is I'm pretty sure he's got like complex PTSD, and I think he's really, really unwilling to get close to what is really uncomfortable for him. And I think it's so hard for him because I think I challenge him and point out those things to him in a way. And I'm not trying to do, I'm trying to be gentle about it, but I think it's almost unbearable. Like he's making a choice to not address any of it, is really what it all feels like. My gut told me. And I've again, I've like been in similar situations, and I usually find out later down the road. My gut was like totally right. But I can't control his reaction, you know. I
No.
don't, you know, do that.
No, but like you can still continue to work on excavating through your own layers of shit to find and embody the authentic person who's already there. That is your natural essence of who you came here to be. And then, if and when you do get into another relationship, like it's okay for you to out of the gate be like, "This is what's happened to me the last four times. If this is something that you tend to do, like I'm not interested in a relationship for you. And it's important to me that you do trauma work, or it's important to me that you get help with communication," or like you're allowed to say, "Because this has happened to me before, and I would like a chance to work through a relationship without being abandoned, but I also need to be able to work through it with a partner who isn't abandoning me because he's avoiding his own shit." And I think like that is you asserting yourself and saying exactly what you need. And then they can make an informed choice about whether they want to date you or be with you or not. Right. But like, yeah, if somebody's ever like, "Oh, it's not you, it's me," it's like, no, that's bullshit. Because if it was you and not me, then We could, why won't you tell me what it is about me? Why won't you tell me what it is about you? Like, why can't we talk about this? Why are we just using this as an excuse to end the relationship? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just a cop out. It's an easy out.
Yeah, I told him, I'm like, it feels, I'm like, I think it gives you the illusion of taking responsibility when you're not taking responsibility at all. Because I told him the same thing, like responsibility, the ability to respond, and you just chose to check out instead.
I mean, I can imagine that, like, okay, I'm gonna use my own self as an example. If I was single and didn't have David, I can imagine that if I started dating again, who I authentically am is probably way too fucking much for a lot of men. Like, because I know who I am. I know myself. I'm committed to embodying my authenticity. I give no fucks, especially about somebody I don't know very well. So, like, I can imagine that out of the gate, dating someone like me could probably come up, be like really intimidating to some men. And it sounds like you have done a lot of work on yourself. And I don't know why women tend to do more work on themselves than men do. I don't know why that is. I think it's because of men's internalized patriarchy and internalized misogyny towards themselves that keeps them from doing this work on themselves. And, you know, part of their internalized toxic masculinity is like not feeling their feelings and denying their feelings and not being emotional because that's seen as weakness and all of that kind of stuff. So I can imagine that if somebody was dating me and I was like calling that out in them, that would be really uncomfortable for them. And they probably would like check out long before we could even get a relationship established. Whereas like my partner, David, like he and I have done this work together, you know? So every time we bump up against each other, it's like, this is another opportunity for us to understand ourselves better and to understand our relationship better and to understand each other better. And like, we have a track record of like proving that we can go through hard things and still be okay. We can fight and still be okay. If I'm doing something that's like out of my authenticity or out of my integrity, David's allowed to call me on that. Vice versa, I'm allowed to call him on that. Like, that takes a big, deep level of consciousness that I know is not present in a lot of relationships. And that doesn't mean our relationship is perfect. Like, we definitely have our share of conflict and, you know, opposing feelings and misunderstanding and all that kind of stuff. But like, if David were to ever be like, oh, I'm not good enough for you. I just need to like break up with you because I'm clearly not enough for you and you're just so much better than me. I would literally be like, what are you avoiding? Like, what is it that you're avoiding? Why do you think I'm better than you? Why do you think that I deserve better than you? What is it about you that feels unworthy? And did I put that there or did somebody else put that there? Like, I would just get really clear and call them on their bullshit. I mean, you can't work through abandonment triggers outside of a relationship. Like, that's the truth to your question is like, and I'm not saying you just like go jump into another relationship just so you can work out abandonment. That's not what I'm saying at all. But like, you know, I guess you could work through abandonment stuff with friends or your parents or whatever. But like the truth is it's just like you could read all the books on boundaries that were ever written. But until you're actually in a relationship and practice setting boundaries, you really only have like this head knowledge, right? So you need to be back in that situation. But again, whenever you're ready, and maybe the next time around, if and when that happens for you, like you're just much more clear out of the gate of like, this is what I want, this is what I need, this is what I will not put up with. And then you can tell them that, and they can make an informed choice, you know?
Yeah, I've never done that, like more out of the gate, because there are at that point not showing me any signs that they would do that, you know, because of course, like at the beginning, they're into it, and you know, I think they find that's what it's really intriguing about me and like exciting about me and things like that, that they want that sense of more. But yeah, so I think, yeah, I think that would be really interesting to do, like right from the get-go.
Yeah, and I know I've had people have really big problems with me being like, just say it from the beginning. Just like, Say what you want, say what you need, tell, like, show them who you are. Because it's like, oh, well, you know, I need to get to know people. I don't want to scare them away, or like, I don't want to get too emotionally intimate too soon if it's not going to work out. Like, I don't want to be too vulnerable and then they think I'm too much, or they think I'm weird, or, you know, like whatever else. And it's like, I mean, if they're going to think you're weird for being too vulnerable, they're going to think that whether you do it from the beginning or you do it later in the relationship. Like, if they can't handle your vulnerability, they can't handle your vulnerability. It's not about the timing of your vulnerability. It's their own relationship with vulnerability that they can't handle, you know? So, you speaking from the get-go, like, here's the experiences I've had in the past, and I'm not willing to put up with this. And like, I actually want someone who, even if they think that they're not good enough for me, that they have the balls to come and tell me how they're feeling. And then we can work through that together instead of them checking out to avoid doing their work on themselves. You're going to know real quick if that person's willing to stick around or not whenever you are that honest, right? And also, I'm really sorry that has happened to you 4 times. That really, really sucks.
I have like every other person in my life, like, I don't get it. You know, I'm like, I don't either.
Yeah, I think, I mean, my gut says he's running from something in himself.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
So,
this is, yeah, I feel like this is not
yeah.
a secret. And, but yeah, he's just unwilling. I feel like the word I keep coming back to is his unwillingness to deal with it.
Yeah. So you were never going to co-create a conscious partnership with someone who's unwilling to face themselves.
Yeah, there have been pieces where he showed like a willingness, but I think he did it for me, not for himself. And I think that kind of comes to the crux of it is like, you know, he that's unsustainable.
Yeah, David can tell you I am really, really clear whenever there's something about him that I'm like asking him to change. I'm very clear about like, if you change this thing about yourself, I don't want it to be because it's what I want and you're people pleasing me. I want it to be because this is what you genuinely want to do, because this is what's best for yourself. So that we don't get in that, oh, well, I only did it because you told me to, you know, like. Then he has to change from a place of integrity, not from a place of people pleasing. So I hope the next guy has more integrity.
Thank you.
Who's next? Yeah, Danielle.
Hello. So, following on from what you've said, Nicole, just picking up on something you said, Lindsay, about working on abandonment while in a relationship. How do you do that when you've noticed that your partner's go-to is shut down and your go-to is to want to run away and escape?
Okay, so your partner's go-to is shutting down, and your go-to is to want to run away.
Yeah.
Do you want to run away because he shuts down?
Yeah, because I, yeah. Yeah, because he, yeah, I've noticed he's a very kind of, he processes things internally and I process them externally. So when I'm talking, and need an answer, he gets more closed off because. And then
Okay.
I'll get more defensive and want to run away.
Okay. Have you ever said to him, I process by talking out loud, and then whenever I talk out loud, you shut down, and that makes me feel abandoned. Are you able to stay more present with me whenever I'm trying to talk and process?
Yeah, I've even like given him a kind of get out of that of. I don't know what to say right now. I need to process. I'll come back to you, and it never really comes back.
Wait, you tell him that you'll come back to him, but he doesn't come back to you?
No, I said I give him the get out to come back when he's ready.
Okay. Can you reframe that to, I need to take an hour to process this. Can we resume this conversation together in an hour?
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah.
Yeah, what else is happening?
I don't.
Did I just make you really uncomfortable by asking that?
Yeah, because it's like, I don't know, but it does definitely stuff there.
Yeah, like what?
It's really hard to find the words because it's more like just this feeling of dread. But knowing that I don't want to give up because there's a lot of stuff there, and I think a lot of it is around me being more aware and him not being aware, and just feels that all the time, that bumping up all the time.
Yeah. Have you said that?
Yeah.
You've said, like, it seems like I'm practicing a lot of awareness and I'm becoming aware of a lot of things, but sometimes I wonder what you're aware of. Like, are you practicing awareness too? What does that look like for you? What's your process? And be curious about it instead of like demanding or controlling or nagging or, but just curious, like, what is your process of awareness like? I'm curious.
Similar wording, not as such, because I get told that I'm talking to him like a therapist. Sorry, it's all like
yes. My mother says the same thing. And then, I'm like, no, mom, this is just how I talk now. She's like, don't be my therapist. Yeah.
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 And then
so,
that kind of triggers him to be more defensive.
Yeah. So if you were like, actually, I'm not talking to you like a therapist. I'm just trying to talk to you like a calm adult. What part of you needs to be defensive about this?
Normally get that he's not being defensive. That's the response.
Shutting down. Yeah. Well, I mean, his defense is to shut down. Like, he may not be angry defensive, but he is defensive because he's shutting down. That's how he's protecting himself.
Yeah.
But telling you that you're talking like a therapist is also him getting defensive, and that's a fight response.
Yeah.
So have you said, like, actually, whenever you tell me that I'm talking to you like a therapist, it really hurts my feelings because I'm just trying to talk to you like an adult.
No, I've not said that. No, that's something I've never said.
Doesn't it hurt your feelings?
Yeah, massively, especially when it's just wanting to sort things out.
Yeah. So then when you tell me that I talk to you like a therapist, even though I'm doing my best to just talk to you like an aware adult, it really hurts my feelings, and it actually goes nowhere because you totally shut down the conversation when you say that. So can we try something different?
Yeah, that's a powerful statement.
What would that be like?
I instantly feel like I wouldn't get a response because he tends to do that.
Has this been a pattern for y'all's entire relationship?
Only for, like, I've noticed the past year or so, kind of. He seems to have been shutting down more in the past year, and about a year ago his dad died. So I understand it. I understand the reasoning behind the change in the behaviour. So it has been a pattern recently.
You're also allowed to say, you know, babe, I understand the change in your behavior because you lost your dad a year ago. And I'm sure you're still grieving and that still hurts. But, like, you acting this way towards me because you're grieving your dad isn't helpful for our relationship. And I'd like to be there for you and your grief, but I can't if you shut me out.
Yeah. Because I don't not want to be with him. But it kind of takes me back to the question I said in the coaching call about the more aware I become of my authenticity, the harder it becomes. And I keep trying, every time you said about the binary thinking tonight, I keep trying to not be in that place of, well, it either works or it doesn't. I don't want to be in that place of we either stay together or we split up, because I don't want to do that.
Well, but at the end of the day, it comes down to, can I be my full authentic self with this person and not abandon myself? And that is actually a yes or no answer.
Right, okay.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's what I'm scared of.
You're scared that your authenticity is going to mean that you can't be in the relationship anymore?
Yeah, if I'm brutally honest.
I mean, that's a reasonable thing that it could happen. That could happen. But you can also communicate about that instead of just one day waking up and being like, fuck you, I'm done because I can't be my authentic self in this relationship. Like you can tell him along the way, like, hey, I feel like there are these things that I am becoming and they feel like the truest version of myself. But in our relationship, I feel like these things are not welcomed or they're criticized or they're whatever. And like, I just need you to know this, these are things about myself that I am discovering are authentically me, and I'm not going to change them or tone them down for you or whatever. So like, can you figure out some way to be able to handle my authenticity? Do you feel authentic in our relationship? Do you feel like you're full of yourself? You know, like,
Never asked him that question. Yeah, that's a good question to ask.
yeah, and tell him, like, even if you becoming your most authentic self means that things about our relationship change or things about you change, like, I'm here for it. And I would love for both of us to learn to embody our authenticity together. And that's going to require us to learn how to communicate, which means that I can't run away and you can't shut down. We have to learn how to stay.
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
Wait. Like, just really kind of nervous. Like butterflies in my stomach, and literally that what you just said actually made my kind of flight response kick in, and I don't know why.
Okay, let's be curious about it then. Let's slow everything way down. Just notice that you're having this. Would you say that this is an appropriate response to a real threat, or do you think this is an inappropriate response to a perceived threat?
And definitely an inappropriate, because it's not happening right now.
Right.
It's my brain thinking far too far ahead.
Okay. So just let the energy move. Do you need to move your body in some way to move with the energy?
And my body feels really, I want to do that. I'm just going to curl up.
Okay. You can curl up if you need to. It's okay to give your body what it wants.
It just feels like everything in me wants to let stuff go, but everything's holding it in.
Now, where do you feel that tension?
In my chest, like here.
Okay, so let's just be present with that feeling. Just imagine that love is coming out of your hand into this like really anxious, nervous, uncertain part. And send breath into your chest. Give it some space. Notice what happens. It might intensify, it might subside, it might stay exactly the same, it might move to a different part of your body. Whatever happens is totally fine. Is it possible? And if this doesn't resonate, Danielle, you can just be like, no, it doesn't resonate. But is it possible that there is some truth in this part of you that wants to run? Because you don't want to be in a relationship where your authenticity isn't welcomed and celebrated.
Yes, that is possible.
And I'm not saying that's what you have to do, love. I'm not telling you to leave your husband. But we have to honor the part of you that's like, I don't want to be in a relationship where my authenticity isn't welcomed and celebrated. Right? We're just acknowledging what the truth is.
That's really possible because I was previously married and in a relationship where I had no identity whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I fought really hard to get that back when I got divorced. And
Yeah. So just look how hard your body is working to protect you from that ever happening again. She's really smart.
it feels like I'm kind of, this might be really, I don't want to say stupid because it isn't stupid, but I can't think of another word. Part of me feels like I'm self-sabotaging it, and I know I'm not, but I feel like I am, if that makes sense.
Sabotaging your relationship?
By being myself.
Do you think that's actually true?
No.
Okay. So if it's your fault that your authenticity means the relationship doesn't work, then doesn't that keep you in a belief that, oh, it's my fault. I was too authentic, so it didn't work. So I shouldn't be authentic. That's bad because then I can't keep my relationship. You know what I mean?
My relationship should be really supporting who I am and my authentic self.
Yes, that is your higher, wiser self talking. Yes, your most intimate relationship is supposed to be supportive of your authentic self. And it's okay to ask for that and to have boundaries around that if that's not what's happening. And just because you have boundaries to protect your authenticity doesn't mean that you're sabotaging your relationship. But you're abandoning yourself if you sacrifice authenticity for the relationship. How's that sensation in your chest?
Still there, but not as intense. And shifted when you just said that about I'm abandoning myself if I'm not being my authentic self, and that I'm allowed to ask for support with that.
Yeah. And it's okay to tell your husband, I don't want to abandon myself to stay in this relationship anymore. And I can only work on myself. I can't work on you. I can't control you. But like, if our relationship is important to you, then I need to see some kind of effort towards greater awareness or better communication or whatever it is that you need to see. You can ask for what you need. And if he's like, no, that's really good information to have, right? He's totally unwilling to meet you in this because he's just ambivalent and thinks that you talk like a therapist and is going to try to defend himself that way and all of that. Like, that's really valuable data to have, because then you can make a really informed decision, right?
Yeah, I think it's a conversation we need to go deeper into.
Yeah. And that might feel really scary. And it would be understandable if it felt really scary. But is it scarier than being in a marriage for the rest of your life where you can't be your authentic self?
No, not when I've already done that.
What else?
I feel like we both need to speak to somebody together. I feel like that would really help us. And I haven't mentioned that because I'm a bit worried that he's not going to want to do that.
Yeah, a lot of men don't want to do that.
Hmm.
And again, that would be really valuable data for you to have, right?
Yeah.
As somebody who isn't willing to invite a third person in to help you guys navigate something, is somebody who's saying, I'd rather remain stuck than be vulnerable.
Yeah.
I'd rather be stuck than let anybody see our relationship because some part of him feels shame about it or feels guilty about it or feels inadequate himself or whatever. So he would rather not allow any help in so that he's not seen than to fully be seen and actually have help. This is the internalized patriarchy and misogyny. Like that is what this is. This is not just your husband. This is like many, 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 many men. Right? This is how the patriarchy also fucks over men.
Yeah.
Even though they benefit from it, it also fucks them.
Yeah.
Okay, feel your feet on the floor. Feel your feet on the floor. Feel your bottom supported by the chair. Feel the breath going in and out of your lungs. Your body is really smart to try to protect you. Feel a bit more grounded.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, I'm not done until you're feeling safe, so. You're doing great work. Thanks for letting yourself be sleepy.
Thank you guys for holding this space for me because I'm like used to that. Not in the moment.
What it's here for. You're probably not the only person who has these feelings. Our authenticity is unapologetic.
I feel like mine's still getting used to that.
Yeah, dude, same. You uncover another level, and all of a sudden, you're really uncomfortable again. Until you get comfortable with it. Like, that's how it works. And in our most intimate relationships, where we're bumping up against, do I choose attachment or do I choose authenticity? Do I choose the attachment? Do I choose authenticity? Right? That takes us right back to childhood, where to avoid being abandoned by parents, we had to choose the attachment over the authenticity. You're in the same situation right now.
Oh, I didn't even think about it that way. Oh. Wow.
But the difference between now and when you were a kid is that when you were a kid, you couldn't survive without the attachment relationship to your parents. You can survive without the attachment relationship to your current husband, right? So I know that sounds scary. Like, I'm not saying that's easy, but I am saying you are no longer a child, so that attachment isn't actually as important as your authenticity is at this point.
Yeah, no, that I hear that because that, yeah, and I've done that before. I've got out of that before.
Yeah. And so now your body's like, bitch, it's feeling familiar. This feels too familiar. We can't do this again, right?
Yeah.
So there's some truth in that flight because your body is like, I've got to protect myself by getting the fuck out of here because this is starting to feel like eerily familiar to my last relationship. Like, your body is so smart, Danielle. Oh, there is a, oh no, there she is.
No, I'm still here. I think that's exactly what it is, 'cause, and I feel like I'm fighting against that, and it's pushing back a lot. It's really pushing back.
Your authenticity?
No, my body and my authenticity, it feels like they're having a fight. It feels like
Yeah. Sometimes it does feel that way. Until one day you realize it's actually easier to be authentic than it is to keep fighting it. And some of our relationships don't survive our authenticity. And that doesn't mean that we're bad or that we're wrong or that the relationship was bad or wrong. It just means that the relationship couldn't survive you being your most authentic self.
Yeah,
And
and
that
you
can be
think.
really sad. But I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to your
No,
relationship. I think you guys have a
not.
lot of communication to do before you get to that point.
Yeah, I think listening to what you just said, it's highlighting the need to communicate on a deeper level
Yeah.
and just see what that brings up. And like you said, collect that data and use that information.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that makes sense. That
Okay.
wasn't a nervous laugh, that was a relief laugh.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah. Do you feel less activated now? Less triggered?
Yes, and yeah, you can feel that's moved, and I can feel my feet on the floor now. I couldn't then.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good work. Look at you staying present with that. That was amazing. That was like a marathon.
That felt like a marathon.
I don't even know, it was only like 5 minutes. That was like a marathon. Yeah, great work.
Thank
Great
you.
work.
No,
Anything else?
I just glanced the chat and thank you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks for showing up and letting us see you. Anyone else? Tell you what, cohort 4, y'all are a shy bunch. I've never had a cohort this shy and as delayed to ask questions. Normally, I've got like before I'm even done posting the 5 minute break, then Q&A, there's like six hands raised usually. Like, what is going on? Yes, Sinead, what's going on?
I just have a question around what's your thoughts on the influence of hormones into like, on our nervous system and I'm just wondering, like, I don't really resonate with kind of collapse, as in it's not something I experience like very often, but then always right before menstruation for like 1 or 2 days, I will feel some of what you've talked about there. And last weekend when there was a full moon, I was like knocked out for like 3 days. I just felt like brain
Sure.
dead. I couldn't get myself together for anything. And
Yeah.
what I'm wondering is that just moving me more? Is that just opening up space to allow me to feel what I'm really feeling? Or is there actually like it's just mad, like the hormones and the moon and the whole lot. Like I don't know. I don't
Yeah. Do
know.
you bleed around the full moon?
No, I'm not due to menstruate for another like week.
So you're like a
So
new, you're a new moon
I'm new
in.
moon at the moment, but like yeah.
Okay, interesting. So then you would have ovulated on the full moon.
Yeah, and it knocked me for six. Like knocked me for six.
Wow.
Yeah, which yeah. So I'm
I mean
just
the role of
interested to see how.
hormones, yeah, the role of hormones cannot be underestimated at all. Like they definitely play a huge role. And you know, we're also like our bodies are like 80% water. And the moon has influence over water and tides, and so it definitely has influence over our bodies. And like, I tend to be a person who is like more energetically sensitive to like astrological, cosmological things that happen. Even when I try to talk myself out of being sensitive about those things, like it just happens sometimes. But I mean, anytime I experience like the hormonal, you know, like. It's like the body just fully puts on the brakes and it's like, no, I bet you are gonna rest now. Like, then I'm always like, my body is just really smart to be like, oh, I'm about to menstruate next week. And it's taking a lot of energy to like prepare my body to menstruate. So I need a little more extra rest right now. And that's not that big of a deal, you know? But I mean, I have been
Yeah.
in a place where, I mean, you know, just I've been on thyroid medication for 2 months now. So like I'm in a place where like I was feeling the super low like thyroid hormone just sluggish and exhausted and burned out and all of that. And then having the experience of taking thyroid medication and like feeling so different, you know? So like it
Wow. Yeah.
absolutely makes a difference. But
Yeah.
unless if it was happening to you like really regularly, like monthly, I might go get checked out, but like, I mean, I was like fucking burned out and exhausted for 9 months before I went and got my thyroid checked. So like, I was really waiting to see if it was actually a pattern that was established or if it was just like a random, like, oh, I've just been really tired for a month or two. But no, it was actually like an issue that I really needed to address. So I also take bioidentical progesterone.
Okay, because like I definitely relate to the unintegrated flight, I think is probably where I'm hovering a lot of the time. But because I don't really the collapse kind of really only happens to me that few days before menstruation. So I was kind of I'm just yeah just I guess looking at the influence of hormones. Or is it that I feel that more intensely because of the fact that I'm in the unintegrated flight for maybe the rest of the month that my body is like, the minute I get a little nudge, it's like collapse,
But both and
maybe.
both and
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, that full moon was not full fun last weekend. It doesn't
yeah.
happen to me. Doesn't happen very often as bad, but my God, yeah, it was really,
Well,
yeah.
that was a high energy full moon. I mean, it was a blue moon, it was a super moon, there was a lot going on. And that we were in a Mercury retrograde and like, I don't know, five planets were
Okay.
retrograde or something. I mean, we've got a lot of shit happening in the sky, that's for sure. For sure.
Oh
But
God.
Mercury just went direct yesterday, so we're not in a retrograde anymore.
Oh, well,
Praise
that's
Jesus.
good. That's relief.
Yeah. So we got that going for
Bad
us.
enough.
Yeah, I'm on day 23 of my cycle, dude, and I can totally relate to that like luteal premenstrual like thing. I mean, like I'm getting a headache right now. I haven't slept super great for the last 3 nights. Usually my sleep gets disrupted around like towards the end of my cycle. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Carrie, yes.
I don't know if I have a question, but I just want to say thank you guys for sharing, because when we started this call, this overwave like of just like I'm so tired, I can't even turn on my camera, I don't want to say anything took over, and then you guys like shared for me, literally like took the words out of my mouth involving relationships, so thank you for that. But just going based off of like I guess not knowing that you're crashing and then you crash. I have always been like fight response. That's my trauma response. I'm quick to get angry, quick to whatever. And I just came out of a 2.5 year relationship. It was basically what Danielle said. It's like my authenticity fighting my attachment. Like, I love this person so much. I can't imagine my life without you, but like, I'm the worst version of myself with you. Like, I'm triggered 24/7 and I can't get out of it. So the only thing that's happening are these learned behaviors that I hate, but I'm surviving. So
Yep.
that's all I have. And now, like, I just today am 2 months out of that. And I am realizing how burnt out I was the whole fucking time and didn't realize until I got into like a safe space. And when you guys were sharing, I just had this feeling of like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to share this in a space where you're not going to get defense, where you're not going to get stonewalled or like all of these things. So I don't know. Speaking from my free state, I appreciate you guys.
That's amazing. That's why I do this as a group because we're all reflecting for each other. So you don't even have to talk and you're still going to get something out of
Yeah,
it.
thanks.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe it would be helpful for you and Danielle or both, yeah, Danielle and Nicole, maybe it would be helpful for the three of you to connect and talk about your different relationship experiences and your authenticity and all of that. Like maybe that would be a great healing thing for the three of you if y'all
Yeah.
were up for that.
Jenny,
So
you were sharing before you said the chest thing. I felt this urge to like, my hand kept going here. And then you did that, and I was like, oh, I feel it for you.
yeah, totally. Yeah, y'all drop your Instagram handles or whatever you prefer. Did anybody create a WhatsApp group? You did, Sinead, right? Did you? Okay, are you guys all in it?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe that's a great place. I don't know. I just think that it helps to have conversations with other people who are in similar situations and bounce things off of each other and help with your perspective and all that kind of stuff.
Also
So,
interesting how the body will throw these feelings on you. I'm over here like already and drinking my coffee, and then we start talking about triggers and I'm like, I'm exhausted.
yeah. Yeah, your body's your ego's like, let's not stay
Oh.
for this long. Let's not stay. That's amazing. Sinead posted the WhatsApp group number in the chat for anybody who's not in it. Just so y'all know, I'm not in it. So it's totally run by you guys, which is fine with me. But that might be a great place for y'all to connect privately or Instagram DMs if you like that, whatever you like. Anybody else? Any other questions or comments?
I have a quick question. The tools that you were speaking about,
Mm-hmm.
are they, is it like one of these is recommended if you want to move like in a certain direction in the like ladder?
Some of those are like that, yeah, but generally, before I try to decide, oh, I need to move to this state or I need to move out of that state or whatever, I try to ask myself what I asked Danielle, which is like what's the truth here? Like, do I need to slow down or do I need to speed up? Do I need gas? Do I need brakes? So, I mean, there's certain ones that you'll know just by the practice if it's good for slowing down or speeding up. But you can use whatever. I mean, you're not going to hurt yourself using one or another. They're all very safe. Anyone else? Yeah, and you guys all know how to access all those freebies that you got in your member area. You just log into our website and you go to your account and the content. Okay. Good deal. Yeah, please use those resources as often as you need to. Any other questions or shares or comments before we close out today? No? Okay. Amazing. Well, then I'll see you on September 25th, I think. I feel like I need to just look at my calendar one more time and just make sure. September 25th. Actually, the 4th, next Wednesday, is our group call. So I'll see you then. And then I'll see you on the 25th. Yeah. So we'll do our group call on Wednesday, the 4th. It's at noon Central Time. So hopefully that's a good time for most of you. Yeah. Bring any questions. Anything that you have about triggers, make a point now that you've done this workshop, make a point to just like intend to be in awareness of when you get triggered or just generally what you're feeling. The goal is to have you walking around in your body more than in your head. So I would love for you to practice walking around in your body more than in your head. Okay. Well, then I'll see you guys next Wednesday. Thank you so much for coming today. It was lovely to see you all. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Have a great day, evening.
Hi.
Bye-bye, Katarina.
Hi.
Bye,
Thank
Danielle.
you, Lindsay.
Yeah,
Bye.
bye,
Thanks,
Nicole.
guys.
Yeah. Bye, Sinead. Bye, Ksenia. Bye, other Danielle. Bye, everyone.